Bruchim Rabbim to another week of Parsha Insights, Parshas Lech Lecha. Amazing to have everybody here in the Heichal, those who are listening live and those who will hear the recording when it's sent out. And yes, Baruch Hashem, when I'm privileged to travel from time to time, a person will stop me and say, I am one of the faithful listeners who listens to Parsha Insights every week. And my test to see is by asking them, what's the line I say every single week? And before I even say it, they'll say, I'm one of those who are listening. I'm not one of those who are in the Heichal live. And that's how I'll know that it's true. The Shira said, Lezecha Nishmas, Uli Ili Nishmas, Rebecca Basarina and Leon Ben Rachel, your dear parents, may their Neshama Dairis have a Lichta Gigan Eden. Wonderful to join. I know last week we did part Bereshis, part Nayach. This week we'll do Be'ezus Hashem, Parshas Lech Lecha. Again, the Parsha Insights is not only that we're able to gather together and unite each and every week, not only that we should become more knowledgeable in specific inyanim in the Parsha, but most importantly, I ask all of the listeners, yes, whether you're now in the Heichal or listening live or will hear when it's sent out, please share the Divrei Torah over on Shabbos, at your Suda, with family, with friends, please. It will enhance our Shabbos Kodesh and bring an even more elevated, holy, and Ahoybin Shabbos. I want to begin with a phenomenal pshat. Mamish, one of the most powerful and best pshatim that I have ever seen. I want to express hakaras hatov to Yedidi, Reb Avrom Buchspan Shlita, for actually sending me this Dvar Torah. And then after I share it with you, there are many points that I'd like to add on to my understanding of the Dvar Torah, but I have tremendous hakoiv to Yedidi v'Rav Chavivi, Rav Avram Buchspan Shlita, and I'm grateful to him for sharing this Dvar Torah with me. The Pasuk says, if you take a look in the beginning of the Parsha, literally, Perik Yud Beis, Pasuk Vav, everyone could certainly look inside, the Pasuk tells us, Vayavar Avram ba'aretz ad mekayim Shechem ad Elon Moreh, that Avram Avinu passed through the land until Shechem, and then the pasuk says Vachani oz ba'aretz. If a person takes a look at Rashi, Rashi tells us, please everybody look inside, or at least when you go home, make sure to look at it inside. It's easy what we're saying. Perek Yud Beis pasuk Vav ad mekayim Shechem. Rashi says that he stopped in Shechem. Why? L'hispala b'nei Yaakov kishiyavoyu l'Shechem, to daven for his grandchildren, meaning to daven on behalf of the children of Yaakov. Actually, I should say that would be his great-grandchildren. And one day, when one day, they would come to Shechem. So let's quickly repeat what we just said. The Pasuk tells us in the beginning of the Parsha that the words Ad Mekayim Shechem teaches us that he stopped there so that he could daven on behalf of Bnei Yaakov for the one day that they would eventually be there. Now, if you're listening, which I'm sure you are, don't you want to ask a fairly obvious question? If he stopped to daven, as Rashi says, in Shechem for his future generations, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, then that means, clearly, as a lawyer, you could certainly appreciate the beauty of this question because it should be mind-boggling. He obviously knew then about his grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Rashi just said that he went to daven there for them. So if you take a look at the Sifsei Chachamim asks this question, if he clearly knew that one day he was going to have children, then how does the Pasuk tell us later on that Avram, so to speak, complained to Hashem that he remained childless? Vayomer Perik Tezvav, Pasuk Beis, a little bit before Shishi. Perik Tezvav, Pasuk Beis, Vayomer Avram, he is speaking to Hashem, and he says, Matitein li v'anoichi hoylech aridi. And if you take a look, that means, what can you give me seeing that I am going to go childless? Uven Demesek Beisi, which is Demesek Eliezer. Obviously, he knew that he was having children because that's why he went back to Shechem. So what, pray tell, does the Pasuk mean that he's talking to Hashem and that he's going to go childless? How could he think he's going to go childless besides the fact that he have a had a haftacha from Hashem, but he just davened for his grandchildren and great-grandchildren? And more than that, if you take a look at the next Pasuk, the Pasuk says, Vayemer Avra, maybe even stronger, Hen li lo nasata zera. If you take a look, the Pasuk says, Hen li lo nasata zera. Once again, Avraham Avinu says, to me, you have not given offspring, and everything is going to go to my heir, to Eliezer. But he's davening for his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren. So how could you reconcile that, says the Siftei Chachamim, with the fact that he mentions in these few psukim, seemingly he's going to go ahead and go childless? If you take a look at the Siftei Chachamim himself answers that yes, Yaakov Avinu knew, Avraham Avinu knew that there were going to be a grandson, Yaakov, and great-grandchildren. He did know. But if you take a look at the Siftei Chachamim, he feared that maybe he wasn't going to have children until he was very, very old, a very old age. And he was fearful that Eliezer would take his wealth. That's the answer of the Siftei Chachamim, that he knew he would have children, but what he meant was, my fear is it won't happen until I'm very old, and if that happens, Eliezer will take my money. On that, one could wonder, thinking, and one might be want to ask, Avram feared that Eliezer would take his wealth. In other words, is there another answer that we could give on the words of the Siftei Chachamim that he knew he would have children? Either two or three psukim that he questioned. No, what he was referring to was that the children wouldn't be until his very old age. And now there's another question before we start answering them from the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. Take a look at that pasuk that I just quoted. That pasuk says that Avram said, Hen li loy nasata zara. To me, you have not given Zara, you have not given offspring. Now, if one is speaking Hebrew more naturally, the order of the Pasuk would be just the opposite. Lo nasata li Zara. You have not given me offspring. Why did Avraham Avinu emphasize the word li to me by placing it first? He said, Hen li lo nasata Zara, instead of Hen lo nasata li Zara. It should have been at the end. So we have a number of questions, just to spend literally a few seconds repeating it. Number one, on the Siftei Chachamim, who does note that if he went back to Shechem to daven for his children, his grandchildren, great-grandchildren, he clearly knew he was having children. So what did he mean by the few references, I'm going to go childless? So to that we have the answer to the Siftei Chachamim. He knew he would have children, but it would be at a very old age, and he was fearful that the money would be taken by Eliezer. Is there something else he was afraid of or feared, having children at a very old age? And whatever that was, is that what he still referred to by saying going childless? And the last question we just asked from the Orach Chaim HaKadosh was in the sentence that, behold, I don't have offspring. Offspring hasn't been given to me. Why is the word li put at the beginning and not the end? A few marvelous, powerful, extraordinary, unique questions. Let's begin answering them. The Netziv tells us that the desire of Avraham Avinu was something much deeper than the desire to biologically have children. When he was expressing in these psukim his pain wasn't that he wasn't going to have the offspring. His pain was that at that very advanced age, maybe it won't be children li. To me, personally. And what he meant by that, explains in the Netziv, is that even if I do have children, but if I have the children at such an advanced age, li, what's the value going to be to me? Meaning to say, of course having the biological children is something that he yearned on such a profound level. But more than that, he was teaching us, my desire is to raise them, to be machanech them, to teach them, to shape their values, to shape their spiritual path, to transmit my Torah, to give over the Messiah that's in my family. So his concern was so extraordinary. His concern was that if I only start raising the children at a very old and advanced age, will they be children to me? Will they be children to me personally? Yes, they'll be my biological children, but the point and the matara of narrating those children is to raise them, to be madrich them, to be mechanech them, to instill and to inculcate in them the Messiah, the values, the Torah, to shape everything in them that's so valuable to you. And so he wanted to make sure that the children he had would truly be his children. In other words, his anguish in those psukim, anochi hoilech harivi, or will there be li zara, his anguish was not over the fact of being childless, but not having the experience of the fatherhood, of being able to nurture and mold and raise those children. Mayrai v'rabbeisai is that a pshat. Mayrai v'rabbeisai is that a pshat. Hayetze midvarim elu hamikdover the heliginitziv is such a powerful lesson in parenting, in the achrayus. I use that word, the achrayus of raising a family. I remember so often growing up on Simchas Torah in Beth Israel when the people would walk around with the Sifrei Torah. So some fathers were holding their young children, and my father would turn to that father holding a young child and remind him, you're also holding a Sefer Torah. You're holding a Lebedik, a Sefer Torah. And you know, when it comes to writing a Sefer Torah, you must get a proper Sefer, a scribe that's kosher, that's erlich, that's proper. Well, if you're holding your children, which are Lebedik, a Sefer Torah, that means you're writing the story of their lives, of their chinuch. You're the Sefer. And as a scribe, just like a Sefer Torah needs a kosher Sefer, you as a parent, as parents, you must be a kosher Sefer towards your Lebedik, a Sefer Torah. That's the word of the Netziv. And that goes beautifully with what we said from the Sifsei Chachomim, that when the Sifsei Chachomim said that his fear was Shelo Yoilid Ad Hazekena, that he wouldn't have children until his old age, perhaps it was that fear and that anguish. I know that there will biologically be children. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me, and indeed, that's why he davened in Mekayim Shechem for his future descendants. But he wanted them to be his children. He wanted them to be the ones that, as we said already twice, he would shape and mold. So great is the importance of being a sefer and being mechanech a child. Obviously, I want to make something crystal clear, as whenever we talk about this topic, we mention it, and that is, everything is siyata d'shmaya. Everything is davening and davening to Hashem for the siyata d'shmaya that we should be matzliach. I'm merely talking about what we try to do. We as the sefer, we as the scribe, we as the parent. But of course, top and most important on the list is the siyata d'shmaya to daven and daven and daven and continue davening. And by the way, that also answers the second question. We asked, why did the Pasuk say that Avram put the word li at the beginning? Why not put the word li at the end, as in hen lo nasata li zara? But according to the pshat of the Netziv, it's beautiful because his whole stress was not on, his anguish was not on going childless, because he understood biologically he wasn't going to have children. The stress was hen li. Will they be children to me? Will they be personally my children in the sense, as we said, will I be able to be madrich and to mold them? One must wonder, and there's one final note to this beautiful pshat that he shared with me, and this, as you can see, I'm holding up the Sefer Nesivei Chaim. That a Sefer Nesivei Chaim brings down so powerfully all these questions that we've answered since the Shir started, now raises yet another question. Avraham Avinu did say that he knew the one that would be heir to his home was Demesek Eliezer, and Demesek, the Gemara in Yom Chav Ches Amud Beis tells us, Demesek Eliezer to draw. You know how great Eliezer was? Doyle Umashke Mitayrosa Shel Rabba Lacherem. He was able to draw from his master's Torah and give it to others. He was an immense Talmud Chacham. He had extraordinary stature. In fact, Chazal tell us that Eliezer was so righteous he entered Gan Eden alive. So then let me ask you a question. Maybe we're back to our original issue. You're telling me the answer to everything until now was that what was Avraham Avinu's fear? He'll have children, but at his very old age, an advanced age, maybe he wouldn't be able to mold them, raise them, educate them, be mechanech them. But why, says the Nesivei Chaim, was he concerned? If he had Eliezer in his home, why couldn't he rely on Eliezer? Eliezer would educate the child. Eliezer would transmit the Torah. Eliezer would give over the values. He couldn't trust the chinuch to Eliezer. A great Rebbe, a great Rosh Hashiva. So I'm sure many of you already have figured out the answer, but it is just so powerful, it must be mentioned. The Nesivei Chaim says, and again, as you see, I have it here, you're welcome to look at it. He teaches us a lesson in Chinuch Bonim. Obviously, it's important to have a Rav and a Rosh Hashiva and a Tzaddik and a Rebbe, and that's something we speak about time and time and time again. In fact, in the shir we gave to the women on Simchas Torah, it was something we stressed very strongly, the importance of having that Rebbe, that Rav, that Tzaddik, that Gadol, whoever it might be. However, none of those can be in place of the parent. Chinuch Banim isn't something that you could just delegate and give over to that other person. It's a mitzvah shebegufay. It's something that you have a personal obligation. It demands your warmth and your love and your connection, and that's something that only a parent can provide. I will add from different things that I want to share with you in a moment. I would add to that list of parents, a parent, and certainly the importance of the grandparent. As we've said many times, most recently we said a few weeks ago, that the elderly parent said, I'm at the child of my table and my grandchildren, and I'm sitting there and I feel like the fifth wheel. And Avraham Yeshua Heschel so beautifully answered that elderly parent or grandparent, you are the fifth wheel. You're the steering wheel. Make no mistake, you are the steering wheel. As we said, the Pasuk says at the end of Sefer Devarim, Shalavicha v'yagetcha zekeyecha v'yayvulach, which literally means ask your father and he'll tell you, relate it to your elder and he'll tell you. But I told you one of the greatest pshatim, it's also interpreted as Shalavicha. When you ask your father or parent a question v'yagetcha, what that parent should say is zekeynecha. Go to Bubby, go to Zaidi, go to Saba, go to Safta, v'yomrulach, and hear from their wisdom, from their experience, hear from their sage advice what they have to teach you. How important it is for the child to be told by a parent, we have a Bubby, we have a Zaidi, we have a Saba, we have a Safta, go to them and hear their sage and wise counsel. The Nesivei Chaim tells us, of course, it's so critical to have that Rebbe and that Rav and that connection, but it cannot be delegated. It cannot be in lieu of or in place of a person is zeicha to have a parent. if one has a parent, if one has a grandparent, that love, that warmth, that connection, that Messiah, that's a mitzvah shebegufay. It's a personal obligation, and the household may have had an immense, extraordinary Talmud Chacham in Eliezer, but that doesn't replace the obligation of the parent. Now that's a pshat. And that's something that Baruch Hashem, as I said earlier, my father's Atzal used to speak about the overwhelming achrayas. They say over the Maisa how a little boy, the father took him maybe at the age of 4 to the Rebbe and said, my 4-year-old is incredible. Like, what should I do with him? He's 4 turning 5, and every time he finds a belt in the house, he wraps it around his arm like it would be tefillin shel yad. And every time he finds a big towel in the house, he wraps it around him like it would be a talus. Who? What should I do with my child? What should I do? What should I do? The Rebbe looked at him and said, start going to shul more often and daven there. In other words, obviously, if that 4 or 5-year-old was so proficient in wrapping belts and towels like talus and tefillin, he saw that in the home a lot. What should you do? Start davening in shul. Start going to shul more often. I mentioned that on a number of the trips that I was privileged to be in Morocco. Such a rich history of Yiddishkeit, dozens of shuls. I noticed in shul after shul, the benches faced each other. In other words, in the men's section, the benches faced each other, and in the women's section, they faced each other. And I asked somebody from Morocco, one of the elders there who knew such an amount of the history, why is that? And he explained it so that when the fathers or grandfathers are davening with their children or great-grandchildren, we want the children and grandchildren to face them, to be opposite them. They should see each other so that they should learn Kiddushas Beis HaKnesses, the proper way to daven. That was done both on the men's side of the shuls and on the women's side of the shuls, so that the younger generations would be facing the elder generations to look. That's the achrayas, and that's what it means. Rabbi Sai, that cannot be delegated. That's a personal obligation. That's a mitzvah shebegufay. Of course, having the Eliezer, the Rebbe, the Rosh Hashiva, the Rav, the Gadol is critical. It can't be stressed enough. But if a person has a parent, a person has a grandparent, that part of the responsibility must not be delegated. And that's in Morocco why the benches faced each other, so that your children and Enikla could look at you, both sides, the men by the men and the women by the women, and see, now that's how you daven in shul. That's how you dress in a shul. That's how you have proper reverence and kedusha es mikdashay tirou, and you don't talk during davening. That's something that's a very personal obligation. I believe it was from Reb Yankiv Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha, who said that a parent is a mashpia. Mashpia means to influence our children. In Hebrew, the word slant is shipua. Mashpia comes from the word shipua, because how does a slant work? A slant is such that whatever I have on the higher part of the slant will roll or cascade or make its way down to the lower part of the slant. And that's what it means to be, as a parent, a mashpia. As a parent, you're a mashpia. It works like a shipua. What they see and gain from you is what will be'ezras Hashem b'siyata d'shmaya, we can't stress that enough, trickle down to them. It dawned on me, based on these pshatim from the Sifsei Chachamim and from the Netziv and HaMikdavar and from the Archayim HaKadosh, how powerful is it when a number of times a year we open up the Aron Kodesh and we say, Shema Koleinu. It mamish stirs such emotion within us. And one of the few psukim that we say out loud, Al Tashlichenu Le'ei Zikna. Now, literally, that means that we shouldn't be thrown into old age, as I've said many times from Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg. Zechut Tzadav Yerkol Shalvach, Rav Scheinberg used to wish people that they get older, not old. I think we actually spoke about that the other day. A beautiful bracha to get older, but not old. And that's really what we mean when we say Al Tashlichenu Le'ezikna. We shouldn't be thrown into becoming old. But maybe according to the pshatim we've said until now, there's an added dimension, an added kavana. Al Tashlichenu Le'ezikna. Whatever age we are, don't let us be thrown into a zikna where we're no longer able to teach, to educate, to mold, to inspire, to be the mashpia to our children. Whether the parent is 25, 55, or 85, the kavana is the same. Al tashlichenu le'zikna, we shouldn't be thrown into currently an old age mindset or status where we can no longer be the mashpia, the influence of giving over the Messiah to our children. When a person enjoys a bris after benching, there's a number of harachamans that are said. One of the beautiful harachamans is harachaman that we should be zaycha legadloi lechanchoi ulechakloi, which means that we should merit legadloi to raise the children, lechanchoi to educate the children, ulechakmoi, and they should become wise, talmidei chachamim. Somebody once found a girsin, the siddur, an old, old siddur, where the order was reversed, and it said, legadloi, lechakmoi, ulechanchoi, to raise them, to make them wise, to educate them. And the question is obvious. If they've already become chachamim, then what do you still need ulechanchoi? And according to what we've said, it works so beautifully. We should be zayche legadloi to be able to raise our offspring and children. Lechakmoi, they should become chachamim, they should become gedolim, they should become tzaddikim, they should become erlechidim. But even after that, ulechanchoi, our need to educate still continues. Even after lechakma, even after they're out of the house, even after they're grown, al tashlichenu le'zikna, let us be zoicha ulechanchoi, 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 to keep educating them even after they've grown and become great on their own. And I want to give us a bracha, conclude with a pshat of perhaps one of the most important things to instill in ourselves and in that of our offspring, our children. Right before Shishi, the Pasuk says, Hashem took Avram outside and told Avram, Habet no hashamayma, look towards the sky and count the stars if you're able to. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram Avinu three words, Ko yizarecha, so shall your offspring be. Now the simple explanation is your offspring is going to be like the stars, as many as the stars, as illuminating as the stars, as different as the stars, but whichever one it is, the explanation is, Ko yizarecha, he showed him the stars and said, so shall Klal Yisrael be. But you know one of our favorite pshatim. It's from none other than the Lublina Rosh Hashiva, Rav Meir Shapiro Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, the founder of the Daf Yomi. And if you're smiling, you guessed it right. And this is for you in the Heichal, you listening live, and you will hear the recording. Tonight, as we say the Shir, is Zion Cheshvan, Zion Mar Cheshvan. Tonight is his yard site. Tonight is his yard site. Tonight, Zion Mar Cheshvan is the yard site of the founder of the Daf Yomi, the Lubluna Rosh Hashiva of Meir Shapiro. And he says so powerfully, there's another way to understand this pasuk. Hashem told Avraham Avinu to go outside and count the stars. Why did he make the attempt? It's impossible to count the stars. It's not humanly possible to count the stars. And yet what did he do? He went outside and made the effort. What did he do? He made the attempt and he tried. When the Ribbono Shel Olam saw that, he responded by saying, Koi, Koi Yehiye Zarecha. That mida, that quality and trait of attempting the impossible, that's the way Klal Yisrael will forever be. A pshat from Reb Meir Shapiro. Koi, that mida of trying, of persevering, of attempting the impossible, that mida, ko yezarecha, is the way Klal Yisrael will always be. Not giving up, persevering, trying again and again. One of the most important lessons that as a parent we have to remind ourselves, and we have to remind our offspring, our children, koi, that mida that Reb Meir Shapiro says is what the Ribbono Shel Olam was telling Avraham Avinu, of persevering and not giving up but attempting the impossible, that's the way we shall forever be. May we be zeicha to be Tayridika role models. Remember, it's our Lebedika Sifrei Taira. May we be zeicha to see after the Shmaya and on our end to daven and daven and daven and then daven some more. And we should talk about zeicha to fulfillment. Al tashlichenu leizikna, whatever our age is, but to be able to give over with our kaychais to mold, to transmit the Messira of the beautiful Torah way. And may we thereby be zeicha to have tremendous, tremendous Yiddish and Nachas from and together with each other.